Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello, and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you joined us. I'm very excited about the show tonight. The topic is the Awakened CEO, and our guest is Paul Hoyt. We've had Paul on the show several times, and I keep bringing him back, and that's for very good reason, and you're going to find out why tonight. But I wanted to take just a moment before we get started and talk about you. You, why you are here, what your passion is, what your purpose is. There's this pattern I see a lot of times. Being a radio show host, I get to look into people's hearts, their passion. And so oftentimes people have written a book or they've made a CD or something, and they're bringing the passion of their heart into effect, but often they don't understand the value of the value of what they have to offer. And I suggest, I love the topic tonight, the Awakened CEO. You are a business of sorts, your persona, not you as a element of the culture. I'm talking about you can look at yourself, your life purpose, as an entrepreneurial endeavor. And for many of us, like myself, I grew up in broadcast television, setting up microwave satellites, all that stuff, and I loved it, and I loved it so much, I couldn't really understand the idea that I could possibly do something else with my life. I didn't really think I was going to be anything but an engineer, and then I got cracked open about midway through my life, and everything changed. And now I'm an author, a radio show host, and whatnot. And when you go to create something that hasn't been the norm for you, if you will, perhaps your heart's telling you to write a book and you haven't seen yourself an author, or to write a screenplay or write music, and it doesn't feel comfortable to you. A lot of times when we're new at something, we don't understand the value that we have. And I tell you what, on this planet at this time, there's 7 billion people on the planet, and a lot of them want help. A lot of them are struggling. A lot of them want what you have. And it's divine. It's spot on to wrap a business around it if it suits your heart. What I'm talking about here doesn't have to fit every scenario, every paradigm. But so often when we're starting something brand new that we've never done, we don't understand how to wrap a model, an idea of a business, let alone a thriving global vision of a business around what we do. And so if your heart is telling you to have compassion for humanity, Just a flat rate for that, that's got to be $1 million idea or $1 billion idea if you can understand how to convey the value of your compassion. How to convey the value of your compassion to reach the humans that need that compassion. And tonight we're going to talk about what that can look like. We're going to talk about the divine idea of a business, if you will. And Paul Hoyt is just the guy to talk to about this. Paul and I met at a business conference called CEO Space, and space is spelled out S-P-A-C-E. we met there quite a while back, and for me, it was like drinking from a fire hydrant. I went the first time, and my head was spinning so much because I heard so many things I had never heard before that I turned around and went right back the next time the forum happened, and I was able to put the pieces together. And now I can understand the power of what value can be, the value of your heart. I tell you, the heart space is the new truth. We've heard egos talking on the tube forever. Our minds aren't going to pull us out of this nearly as well as our hearts will. So if you're motivated, if you're taking action based on the compassion of your heart, you're in step with what we have to talk about tonight. So get to business here. I want you to understand who Paul is, Paul Hoyt, and you can go to paulhoyt.com. Paul is a managing partner of Hoyt Management Group, and he's a best-selling author. He has led hundreds of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and executives from all around the globe through their unique journeys of business and personal growth and discovery. His expertise, strong passion, and comfort from the boardroom to the boiler room propels professionals and organizations from countless industries to reach the professional and personal success they want and deserve. His experience and extensive knowledge in the key performance areas of business enables him to analyze and assess the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, that's a big word, and gaps of a business, co-developing effective plans, strategies, and actions needed for successful expansion and growth to bring your heart space into effect. His powerful mentoring and execution support has supported Oracle, EDS, Linton Industries, Quest, Cyber Solutions, and hundreds more clients of all sizes to achieve a new level of success with improved profitability, productivity, and growth. I wanted to get all that out there because I want you to understand who you're listening to. Paul's a good friend of mine, and I don't want to, without further ado, I want to bring him on. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you, Les. It is an honor and a privilege to be here once again with you.
It's good to have you back on the air with me. So I've just read your credentials.
Yes.
You've worked with so many people, and I love how you're so organic in how you respond to the client, and you don't have this hard template that you expect them to merge with. You really open up to the client. What would you say is some common platforms that you see showing up in our economy today? What kind of new businesses and growth are you seeing?
You know, businesses are everywhere, you know, in every area of life. We're seeing a lot of service businesses emerge because people are more and more becoming private contractors and freelance contractors than they are employees. You know, 30, 40 years ago, we were an employee-driven economy, but I believe we're getting to be more and more a contractor-driven economy. There's a book written, 20 years ago called Free Agent Nation that really talked about the emerging trends. What we see with technology is that it has enabled us to work remotely. We're seeing a lot more virtual workspaces. You know, we don't have to jump in the car and drive 20 minutes or an hour and be in an office building anymore to be a thriving and productive member of a team. We can work from home. We can work from the beach. We can work from wherever we want with the power of the internet that we have today. So we're seeing a lot more people choosing to go the independent route. They're choosing to have their own business for a variety of different reasons. It can be, you know, just the freedom to work where they want, when they want, with whom they want, you know, the ability to be in control of their own destiny. It can be that they have an opportunity to express themselves and be creative in ways that they couldn't when they were in the corporate environment. And, of course, so many of them want the opportunity to have massive wealth. Those are the three big reasons that I see people go into the business for themselves. They want to be in control of their own destiny, they want to do their own thing, and they want to have the possibility to pursue that massive wealth. So we are seeing a trend with more and more people going into business for themselves, and those are the people I really love to support.
Well, nice. Now, you work with a pretty broad range of businesses. What kind of size do you work with?
Generally, my work is with businesses with $30 million in revenues and less. However, I am looking forward to, in the next year or so, going up market a little bit, because the message of the Awakened CEO can be translated very easily into a focus on the inner work that is so valuable to people who work in a corporate environment. You said it perfectly in your introduction, that we are all the CEOs of our own life. And the same concepts and principles that apply whenever you're running a business also apply to your own life. Things like taking 100% responsibility for your success. Things like defining your vision, you know, putting forth a plan to change yourself from the person that you are into the person that you want to be. Having balance in your life so that you have a balanced life, much like you have to have a balanced business that's good at marketing and good at sales and good at financial management and good at leadership and good at product development. It's also important when we're on our inner journey to have a life that is good at so many things, that we are physically in good shape, that we have mental strengths, that we are spiritually attuned, that we have great relationships, that we have a good career, that we have a good family life. So a lot of the concepts and principles that I teach when I'm working with CEOs to help them be more successful apply perfectly when you consider yourself to be CEO of your own life.
So do you see a common thread as far as like a stumbling block? Because when I look at society, there's such a cookie-cutter mindset about academics and about how things are done, go to college, get a job, retire, you know. And do you see a really common types of blocks within people that – inhibit them from moving to the next level?
Yeah, there's really two issues there, Les. Issue number one is the lack of training and experience. You know, our entire school system is designed to train people to work for somebody else. It's not really designed to teach people to start and grow their own business, else we would be having everybody in high school learn about marketing and practicing sales and learn about engineering and product development and learn about financial management. Instead, we have them focus on history and science and things that really, really support them in working for somebody else. So issue number one is lack of training and experience. Most people go into business because they are really good at something. They're a really good painter, so they want to run a painting business. They're really good at relationship skills, so they want to run a coaching business. You know, they're really good at making pies, so they want to make a pie baking business. So they're really good at one or two things, but they generally have severe weaknesses in the other areas of business that they really need to have strength in order to survive and grow the way that they want to. So the number one issue I see with most people who start and grow a business is a lack of training and experience and a lack of competence in some of the essential key areas of business. The second thing that it causes them a problem is the fears and challenges that come up along the way. You know, we as human beings have a limited capacity for change. We all have these inner fears and these roadblocks to our success that we may never have the opportunity to discover until we're invited to step out of our comfort zone. And when we're in business, because there's so much to learn, especially in the first, you know, few years of business, when we're in that environment where we're learning something new every day, we're being asked to do things that we've never done before, and some of them are very, very challenging, we expose these inner patterns and these inner programs that we would have never seen otherwise that cause us to have fearfulness and hesitation and defensiveness and resistance to doing the things that we need to do. I often say that there are three things that you really need to focus on in business, and that's number one is figuring out what to do, number two is figuring out how to do it, and number three is actually doing it. And most people get blocked on number three. Once they figure out right. what they want to do, they can get a path to doing it and figure out how to do it with a lot of training. But man, it is tough to fire your brother-in-law. It is really tough to, you know, take the money out of savings and invest it in the way that you want to. For some people, it's tough to get onto a phone conversation on a radio show like we are in right now. You know, and each one of those challenges represents a learning opportunity. And, you know, on a metaphysical realm, yeah, I think that's why people go into business in the first place. It's their soul seeking an opportunity to be self-actualized.
Well, I really like that. You know, the growth of our soul, or perhaps our relationship with our soul, and so it's our own personal journey. That growth we go through in our own personal journey, it sounds so spot on with what you're talking about in this growth as a business, because, you know, I love what you said in that third step. You know, we can conceptualize the value, we can cast a platform around it, but then we have to take a step. We have to engage that process, and when you say that so often it's that third step, that's that step that pushes us to the point of change, which is the whole process of personal development to begin with. So, boy, I really like how you balance the metaphysical and the entrepreneurial, because they seem to go hand in hand with each other. Is that what you find?
For many people, they're consciously hand in hand with each other. I think for everybody, they go together. You know, this journey of life has different dimensions to it. We have the journey of parenting and the journey, our physical journey and our journey in our careers and our businesses and our journey and our family relationships, etc. You know, all of those combine to me to form someone's journey of life. And when you're in business for yourself especially, that's a huge component of your journey. You're spending 10, 12 hours of your day, you know, 60, 70, 80% of your time focused on that journey. And it's really, really helpful to see that in a way that it contributes to the overall journey of life and also maintain your balance. That's why I encourage every CEO to be an awakened CEO. And I love the term awakened because it really has a couple of meanings. From a mental perspective, you know, when we wake up in the morning, I don't know about you, but I'm always just a little bit foggy and my thoughts are a little bit slower than they are later on in the day after I wake up even more. But an awakened person from a mental perspective is clear and sharp and focused and decisive. You know, they are very, very quick. They're very clever. They're intelligent. That's what being awakened means from a mental perspective. From a spiritual perspective, being awakened means having a sense of awareness, having a sense of higher consciousness, even a sense of enlightenment about you, where you see this moment in the context of a lifetime, where you see how you are connected to everybody on the planet, and where you step back from this journey of this life, you know, and see it in a very transcendent, detached, awakened and aware way. So I love the term being an awakened CEO because I want to encourage people to be sharp, focused, clear, to get the training they need, the advice that they need to make great decisions for their business, to improve their profitability and their sustainability and their scalability of their business. But I also want to encourage them to enjoy the blessings of the Spirit, you know, to enjoy what it means to be a person of higher consciousness and to have this love and this light just pouring into you and through you out into the planet. It is a marvelous, marvelous experience.
Well, I like that. So you've really created quite a bit of material for some of our listeners. The idea of business might seem like a queasy place to go as far as what they were expecting in their life. You have quite a bit of material online that's freely available to help introduce people, don't you?
I do. It's like an awesome amount. I'm kind of sometimes look at the stuff that I've created over the last 2.5 years and been quite amazed. But there are 125 one-hour episodes, sessions of my Monday afternoon online webinar that I do. I call it office hours, but there's 125 of them available. If people come to my website at paulhoyt.com, they've got access to all of those recordings and the slides that went into the PowerPoint presentation and any exercises that we have there. So that's kind of my give back. I have this, some people would consider it to be a character flaw. I consider it to be a blessing in that I fall in love with practically every entrepreneur I meet. I really want to help them. I understand the challenges that they're going to face, you know, long before they do. I understand that they need the training and the education and the tools and the teamwork successful. And I understand that they're going to have emotional challenges and opportunities to grow in wisdom and consciousness along the way as well. So I do everything I can to provide to them a massive amount of information that they can access on their own. And it also helps when I'm engaged as a coach or a consultant with them in leveraging the time that we have together. I find myself oftentimes saying, you know, go watch office hours number 67 or go watch office hours number 123, where I talk about this subject and then we'll talk about it in our next conversation. It really leverages the time that we have together.
Oh, very nice. I like that. So there's this image in my mind right now where somebody's hesitant, you know, maybe they've written a book and their passion is to talk about forgiveness or something like that. And then they're listening to this talk show where Les and Paul are talking about, now, wait a minute, there's immense value in compassion and it's a divine gift and it's fine for it to return to you. When people are hesitant to take that first step, and then they take that first step, and then they turn around and they take the second step and maybe the third step, there's a point where you can actually get running in the sense that you're trusting yourself. Do you see people really wake up to this idea of being an entrepreneur?
Some people have what I think Michael Gerber in The E-Myth calls an entrepreneurial seizure, where they, you know, wake up one morning and say, that's it, I'm done, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to go for it in their business. But most of the people that I know of, that's not their experience. They have an idea and they think about it. And they read a book and they talk to somebody and then they think about it some more, you know, and it kind of germinates over a period of months or even years while they're thinking about doing this and thinking about doing that, and then they start in a little bit part-time and they dip their toe in the water. You know, there are some people just dive head first into the deep water, and some people like to dip their toes in and think about it for a while. It really depends on the personality. At some point in time, though, you know, if you're going to make it a business and go for it, you do have to go for it. You have to be able to jump in and say, I'm going to commit myself to this, you know, full time, you know, 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, and I'm going to give it 100% of my energy, because the challenges are usually really, really large. They're really tough and severe challenges. And the only way to be successful is to jump in all the way when you're ready to do that.
Right. I like that. So now, if somebody has a big idea, like say I have I'm inspired to make a new fuel injection system for automobiles, or I mean something that in order to get quote launched is a pretty big endeavor. There's mechanisms in business like first round and second round offerings and stock value where you can have people help you along the way financially at the with a percentage of the of your company, but they also provide the financial resources to make something large happen. What I'm getting at is if a listener's got an idea in his head and he just can't wrap his noggin around how to execute a larger scale project, can you talk about some of the mechanisms that are in place that are incremental in helping people along?
Yeah, you bet. And I'm happy to have conversations with anybody who is taking a look at that. I've worked with hundreds of people who are in that exact place, they've got a big idea. It's beyond their own personal resources to fund that idea, so they need to go get funding from some other place. And there are a lot of different places to go get that funding. We just talked about equity capital, which is one of the most common ones, especially if it's a really, really big idea. So as I normally do, and I said that I normally do, is I encourage people to go watch some of the office hours presentations I have done. One of them is on the six stages of raising capital, which covers this exact subject. You know, where do we get started? How do we get started? How do we raise capital in stages? There's other presentations out there on the lean startup methodology, for example, or the book called Nail It, Then Scale It, which talk to people about how do we take an invention and create that in such a way to where we have a good probability of success. So I have lots and lots of guidance to provide to somebody whenever they have a great idea and they're wondering how to get started. If they just go to the website and sign up, they'll have access to all of that and get the free, you know, 5-session course that comes with their sign up called the 5 Choices of Winning CEOs that can help them get started on that journey in a very productive way.
Well, that's really nice, because that's one thing I had no comprehension of until I was taught, and it totally changed how I thought about things. You know, here in Boulder, Colorado, there's a college campus. I run into college kids all the time, and I'll ask them about, well, what were you taught about these kind of things? And so often they weren't taught anything. And what my point is I really encourage our listeners to take Paul up on his offer and learn about these mechanisms, because you don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to. It's not a kind of thing that where you have a big idea, well, that's it, it's over, because you don't know what to do with it. Paul has some real serious resources here, and that's why I love having you on the show. So how does have you seen businesses, you know, double and triple in their size over time, and what kind of growth models have you seen?
Well, it's, you know, in the early stages, it's easy to double and triple. You know, if we sold one customer this month and three next month, you know, even if they were only $100 each, we've tripled our revenues month over month, which is a pretty good deal. Where it really starts to be interesting is if we made, you know, $100,000 last year, and this year we're making $250,000, and the next year we're making $750,000, then it starts to get very, very interesting. I'm blessed every once in a while to have a client that's on that kind of explosive growth curve. I've got one right now that I'm actually jumping on a plane and heading to New York City to see them here in the next 3 or 4 days. which I'm very excited about. That brings its, you know, that brings its own set of challenges. It, regardless of where you are in business, you always got some challenges, and I talk about five different classes of business: the startup class of business, the steady expansion, the rapid expansion, the turnaround business, and the business that's preparing for exit. So each one of those five different classes of business has its own challenges and its own needs, and they really need somebody that understands how a startup business is much different than a turnaround business, is much different than a business that's in rapid expansion mode, with the focus and the mindset that's required for that business to be successful at that stage of their business.
Right, because some businesses are never intended to be owned for a long period of time. They're launched and sold. Is that what
Absolutely. You're
talking about?
Well, it certainly can be a goal. And out here in Silicon Valley where I am, you know, that's what the venture capital firms and the angel investors really love. They want to see a serial entrepreneur, preferably, or an entrepreneur that says, I want to start and sell this business. We're going to build it up. We're going to get $1 million in funding. We're going to build this business up to where it can be sold for $20 or $30 or $40 million in 3 to 5 years so that you can get your money back and you can realize a return on the investment. You know, people, professional investors love businesses that will be sold pretty quickly, or those that have a really dramatic growth curve and has the potential of IPOing. Businesses that are kind of in the middle, the lifestyle business, where the CEO or entrepreneur is taking out their money and enjoying a lifestyle that they love, is really great for the CEOs, but the investor always wonders, you know, how am I going to get my money back? You know, you got my money,
right.
and I want to get a significant return on investment. Yep.
Right. I see what you mean. Well, now we've talked about business quite a bit. Let's shift it over to the personal development. Now, you've written some books and made CDs. Talk about your books and the personal growth side of what you offer.
Awesome. Thank you for that. I love to talk about the journey of spiritual growth and personal growth. I've written a couple of business books, but lately these days my writing has a tendency to be more inspirational and wisdom-oriented than business-oriented. So I've written three inspirational works so far. I released a CD in 2005 called Remember, which is about, you know, simply remembering the most important things in life. And when we do remember those things, it can be extremely empowering to us. I wrote a book called The Practice of Awakening in 2010, and it's follow-on The Practice of Awakening 2, The First Light of Joy in 2013. I'm working now on, three different titles. The Practice of Awakening 3, This Incredible Human Experience is in the works. Last year, I kind of released as a free book online called The Levels of Creation at levelsofcreation.com that talks about the challenges and the paradox in between creating in a metaphysical way and creating in a physical way. And I'm working on my latest project called Surprises on the Road to Enlightenment, which is about all the now incredibly humorous surprises, things that I never expected along the way that I've encountered on this journey to higher consciousness.
Well, can you share with us your own journey?
Yeah, you know, my own journey, I've had 50 years of business experience, and I've had 50 years of experience working on myself. And curiously enough, they both started on the same day. When I was 14 years old, back in Wichita, Kansas, I had an opportunity to go to work at a taco stand and open up the taco stand on Sundays. So when I decided to take up that opportunity, you know, it was an opportunity for me to branch out on my own. No longer was I going to the church that I'd gone to for the last 13 or 14 years. So it was my opportunity to begin the exploration of other religious systems and other spiritual systems and really focus on what is the meaning of life and what is the nature of reality. And I was a very confident young man back in those days. I was pretty darn sure I was going to have everything figured out within just a few years. It's been about 50 years, and I figured out a lot of things, but I also know that there's, you know, there's a lot of still mysteries out there that I'm working on. So that was, you know, that's where the journey started. It went into looking at all things mystical and occult for a while, and then when I was 19, I really discovered that I was not a happy person, you know, that I was stressed and anxious and bitter and sarcastic and angry most of the time. I could have a few minutes of stress relief every once in a while, but most of the time I was just grumpy and growling and not a very good person to be around. But I had this experience where I discovered that there really was this beautiful person inside of me. You know, one day circumstances just kind of came together, and on that day I was really a nice guy. I was really a happy guy. I was really a very friendly guy, and the people that knew me and met me on that day saw this person that I could be. And I just wanted to be that person all the time. I still look forward to being that person all of the time. Now I'm up to the 98-99% level. You know, 98-99% of the time, I'm a friendly, joyful, wise, confident, loving person. And I just love being that way. That's been my personal journey, is this practice of awakening, of every single day checking in with myself multiple times during the day and learning the lessons that I need to learn to heal myself at the deepest subconscious levels so that I can live a conscious, awakened life.
So you've talked about, since you were 14, you've done both the business side and the personal development side. How would you share with our listeners your experience of that growth? Describe to us how it feels to you to continually expand yourself.
Wow. You know, number one surprise on the in the book that I'm working on called the, you know, Surprises on the Road to Enlightenment is this concept of enlightenment itself. You know, this incredible state of being that I've come to experience much of the time, and that everybody can come to learn to experience much of this time. You know, this state of having no fear, this state of being joyful, this state of having unconditional love, of having, you know, extreme self-confidence, an unshakable sense of knowingness about your own personal truth. It is a most beautiful state. In fact, that's kind of what Tony Robbins calls it. He calls it this beautiful state. I think I go a little bit beyond that in my description of it. Some people call it being in the zone. Some people call it being filled with the spirit. But there is this beautiful, beautiful part of the human experience that we can come to enjoy and that we can come to learn to experience more and more and more in our life. That, you know, when I talk about the blessings of the spirit, I talk about it most of the time in terms of five balancing energies that perfectly describe that experience to me, and that is tremendous peace, you know, boundless joy, you know, unshakable strength and power, really incredible wisdom and understanding and insight, and eternal unconditional love. When I think of those five things, they perfectly describe this state of consciousness I call enlightenment, I call awakening, for me personally.
You know, lately in the news, there's been a lot of fear storm or, you know, emotional upheaval or aerobics about the state of the state or whatever. And when you talk about finding that place of peace and finding that place of unconditional love within you, what kind of a resiliency does that give you with the outside world?
Pretty darn incredible. you know, one of the things that we learn is to rebound very, very quickly. When we notice that we're in the shadows, when we've got a little bit of fear, a little anger, a little judgment, you know, we have, through the skills that we've developed over time, the ability to rebound, to shift our energy, raise our vibration, you know, step back into a higher state of consciousness very, very quickly. You know, when I was a young man, I would experience this state of ecstasy and bliss, you know, once every few years. I remember writing something in 1991 called a little vignette, a little insight called This Miracle of Life, which was reflecting on an experience where I had one of those aha moments that says, oh my goodness, I am alive, that I have got fingers and toes and thought and breath and, you know, sensations and experiences, and, you know, this is an incredible planet. One of those really aha, life is amazing moments. And I would have one, you know, every year, and then it was every 2 or 3 months, and then it was once a week. And now it's like 10 times a day where I wake up and I go, holy mackerel, you know, I am alive, that we are all alive. Can we step back just a little bit and see our life flashing before our lives all of the time? It is a most incredible experience. I feel blessed. Every morning I get up and I reflect on my many, many blessings in life. And number one at the top of my list is this amazing human experience.
Wow. Well said. So, you know, when you look at the collective, I mean, in a general way, and there's the social media, and there's the media in general, and there's all these, seems like an endless storm of issues. There's the Zika virus, and there's the scandal in the politics, and there's all these emotional events that keep happening. It can be similar to the business arena, I suspect, where you go into the unknown, where you've never seen yourself as an entrepreneur, and you got to kind of square up your shoulders and take a good girth in your stance and get a clear idea of where you're going and then step forward. To me, it would seem like the best thing we could do to help humanity overall is to have that same kind of resolve in our own personal life. How would you recommend to people to have to bolster themselves up, to strengthen their resolve? What would you tell them?
I'd say a couple of things when it comes to strengthening your resolve. First, have a very clear vision of not only the person that you want to become, but why you want to become that. Because if you can just remember why you're on this journey in the first place, you know, because I want to experience, you know, the gifts of higher consciousness, the blessings of the spirit more and more often in our life, that why can really fuel you to do things that you would not otherwise do. You know, in order for me to get through this block and this obstacle, I know I've got to take this step, but it's going to be worth it. And that, by the way, that same principle of starting with the why, of recognizing the value of experiencing life that you want to experience it, and the value of having the success in business that you want to have, you know, is the same. We start with the why. We start with the vision of who we want to become and the business that we want to have. In the next step, that, by the way, is the first step in my 5-step awakened CEO growth process. The second step is to give an honest assessment about where we are today. Yeah, how much of my time do I spend in anger and judgment and fear? How much of the time, you know, do I spend in a state of joy and rapture and bliss, and really being honest with ourselves? And then we investigate, what is it that tags me and triggers me? What causes me to go into the shadow? What pisses me off? And begin to try to understand the reasons for that and dealing with it. I find that the path of understanding is really great when we can understand why we respond to things in the way that we do. We have a better chance of letting them go and saying, you know, that response no longer serves me well. The third step is to create a plan to get from where you are to where you want to be. And from a personal growth perspective, you know, that plan really starts with daily discipline. You know, every single day we want to remind ourselves of our gratitude list or our list of blessings to put ourselves in a positive frame of mind from the very start of our day. We want to engage in physical exercise because physical exercise, both strength exercise and endurance exercise, really builds up our stamina, builds up our sense of self-confidence and our own empowerment. When we feel strong physically, it's much easier to feel strong emotionally and mentally and be able to face the challenges that come our way. So we create a plan to grow personally that involves daily discipline and daily practice. We create a plan to grow in our business that involves daily activities that we're going to do, sales calls and customer service moments and those kinds of things. Then we gather the resources necessary to execute the plans in a business time frame. That's the money that we need. That's the people that we need on our team, the advisors, the counselors, the consultants that we need. From a personal point of view, that is the same thing. It's the spiritual teachers. It's the spiritual communities. It's the great books. We gather the resources we need to execute the plan we put into place, and then we step into the last step in the process, which is the most important step, which is actually doing the work. You know, every day we get up, we follow our plan, we check it off the checklist, we do our meditations, we make our sales calls, we do the things that we plan to do, so that we can live life in the way that we want to live it.
And oftentimes we can kind of put the prize at the end of the journey, like getting a degree, or, you know, I'm not going to be successful until the company does this or that. I find that there was never an intention of a single moment holding the reward. It seems like every day of the journey has a reward to offer us. And I like to think when you show up, when you get motivated and engaged, like you were just describing in your steps, that there's a sense of personal satisfaction from a heart and a soul level, not so much the ego, but your heart and your soul smile when your ego can get the discipline to take the steps to make it happen. So you can actually enjoy the journey in every day of the journey, wouldn't you think?
I think it's essential. You know, life is a journey. You know, we can't put off the enjoyment of life for tomorrow. You know, every day we have the opportunity to sit down in meditation or prayer, you know, to be reflective, to just for a few minutes, just to let go of all the stuff that bugs us and worries us, you know, and to have a breath and just, you know, relish in this particular moment of the human experience. We all have the ability to do that. And with practice, we can learn to do it very deeply and very, very quickly. You know, at the top of this journey, it's with every breath and every heartbeat, you know, and every thought and every feeling sends us back into a state of ecstasy and bliss and higher consciousness and a full empowerment. So, you know, that's one of the incredible blessings of being on your own path. That is that every single day you're taking a step forward. I am 100% convinced that next year I'm going to be a stronger, wiser, more peaceful, more loving, kinder, happier person than I am today because I'm working on myself every single day.
I love the two terms, stronger and more peaceful. It's there's something that happens in the stillness of the peace within us when we slow down our anxiety, when we quiet our nervousness, and we can completely relax and be still to the point where there's no apprehension or nervousness in our mental mind, it in that place of peace, it's I think it's the best gift for humanity, because there's so many people that long for any sense of peace in their life. And since we're all connected, I really like how you tied power and peace together there. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left of dialogue. Can you share with us your platform and your books and how to get a hold of your material?
Sure. The best way to get a hold of my material and enjoy, you know, some of the many training courses that I've got up online is to go to paulhoyt.com. That's paulhoyt.com. And just sign up for our message list. That way you'll get announcements on each one of the programs that we do every single week, get some free programs, have access to our entire library, and begin to get into a conversation with us about how we might be able to support you in achieving your business and personal growth goals. So we take pride in making sure that we offer, you know, just exactly what you need, you know, exactly what you can use today and exactly what you can afford through a rich portfolio of products and services that we have. And I'm confident that you'll find great value in the materials that are there for free, and I'm confident that people find incredible value in the products and services that we have to offer, because we really are focused on helping our clients achieve what they want to achieve and accomplish what they want to accomplish. So go to paulhoyt.com, sign up. Let's get into conversation with each other. Let's see how we might be able to support you in your journey of personal and spiritual growth.
Well said. I really like how you listen to the client and you listen with that open heart to discover about them what they need, instead of just say, well, here's my template cookie cutter, get in line here and walk through the maze and you'll come out a superhero. You don't do that at all. You really dial in to the client and from that heart space, really show up for them. I'm so impressed with what you do, and kudos for what you do. I'm so delighted there's people like you out there with such a open-hearted approach to helping others be successful in business.
Well, I know I share that with you. I feel like that we are in some way the same person, Wes. You carry the same vibration that I do with your openness and your heartfelt compassion and eagerness to support other people in the ways that you do. So I feel like I've really got a brother in you, a kindred spirit.
Yeah, amen. Well, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I would say as a closing spot, you know, have confidence, have faith in your ability to shift your energy, to shift your life. You know, get on a practice of awakening every single day. You know, as often as you can, think about where you are, the person that you want to be, and have faith and confidence that you can live a life of great joy and a life of great strength and wisdom and compassion and peacefulness. So, you know, be in the presence of people like Les and like me who can continually send these messages of encouragement and support to you, especially if you're in a dark place and you can't quite see it for yourself today. I want everybody to experience love and light in the way that you and I do, Les.
Well said. Well, Paul, I want to thank you again for being on our show. It's been a pleasure having you back.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Les.
We've been talking with Paul Hoyt, and the topic tonight has been the awakened CEO. You know, when we talk about bringing an idea into fruition, into creation, which is very similar to a business model like we've been talking about here, we're talking about the process of creation itself. And it's not a common thing in our culture to be encouraged to do such a thing, let alone get really good at it. And I suggest to you that your soul had a vision for your life before you were even born. That vision has always been compatible with your happiness. It's always been compatible with your life purpose. And it's always compatible with you thriving. And yet we have this thing called an ego, which can really be the park brake on anything that is heart and soul felt actually coming into fruition in our life. Because our ego decides if action's going to happen or not. Unless we're put in some kind of peril, our ego is what chooses what's going to happen. And left unattended, the ego can quite often become complacent in choosing things where it knows what the outcome's going to be. Your ego can develop a habit of making choices that play it safe, that keep things safe, because the ego wants to know it's going to stay in control. But I tell you what, to discipline your ego to trust. And this, it's a simple sentence to say, but to discipline your ego to trust your heart and your soul, verbatim, in the moment, verbatim, there's a quickening that can happen. You know, if you haven't been very conscious of your life and you've had these ideas and since you were a little kid, you knew you were going to do this or that, your heart and your soul might not have enough sway in your life to bring your life around if there's no place for it to live in your life. In other words, you live only in your mind and your ego runs the show. Your heart and your soul can't really get any footing in your life. A really simple thing you can do is get post-it notes. This is a great way to turn your life, is to get post-it notes and put them around the house. And what will happen is you'll be doing something else. You'll be unloading the car. You'll be in the shower. You'll be doing something else, and an idea will pop in your head, and that's your heart and your soul. And when that idea comes into your mind, write it down. A magical thing happens when ink leaves the pen and arrives on the paper. Because if you don't write it down, what will typically happen is the very next thought, you're going to take it up in your head and you're going to start rationalizing about it. You know, you're unloading the car and the can of soup falls out and you reach over and your heart says, you should start writing that book. And the very next thought, you take it up in your mind and you say, I can't write a flipping book. I don't, you know, my grammar stinks. I have nothing to say. Well, that inspiration's lost. And so the mind hasn't given an opportunity for the heart and the soul to show up. Yet, when you hear that sentence and you've got that post note handy, you write it down. Oh, my God, it has some permanence. And later that day, you see that note. And perhaps later, you're at the gas station filling up the tank, and another idea comes, and you write that down too. Oh, my God, you're capturing, you're changing, you're literally changing the dynamics of your consciousness by affording a foothold for your heart and your soul to show up. That simple practice will change your life. Well, I'm so delighted you chose to join us in our show tonight. It's been quite delightful. I very much encourage you to check out paulhoyt.com. Life's so much enjoyable and delightful when you show up for it, when you can get your ego to engage it with a sense of passion and purpose. You know, my passion is helping people believe in themselves, helping them overcome their own stigmas that get in the way. And providing you with shows like this is a delightful way for me to do it. It's been my good pleasure hosting this tonight. Until next time, Thanks for listening.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.